Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the stolen ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree/CJSF radio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF, which is 2573. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party, and I'm your host for tonight, DJ Coco. Usually, I'd be joined by DJ Star, but as I've been saying the past couple episodes, she's off in Germany studying abroad right now. So she'll be back in a little bit, but for now you have me. Yay. So as usual, I have the music and topic all lined up for today, and I'll leave my topic to be a bit of a secret for later on. But I particularly enjoy this one, and it's based off this article that I read in Apple News, which I also sent my mom, and she's pretty interested in this as well. But before we do that, I am going to jump right into the music. So this first one is a collaboration between Claro and L. Michael's Affair, which is this soul group from the U.S., I believe. New York? Stand me if I'm maybe wrong about that. I will check on that and report back. But this is recently released, called Anticipate by the collaboration. So hope you enjoy.
Thank you. nothing, but we don't think that's true. So I'm playing with the thought.
Swanson, and I'm a dad of two young girls. It was a game changer when we learned that $10 a day childcare was being offered to both our kids. And we want all BC families to have this option. To get there, BC has to do three key things. Pay fair and consistent wages for all childcare educators. Transition all existing programs to $10 a day. And plan childcare expansion more like we do schools and hospitals. BC's on the right track, but we need to go faster. Go to 10aday.ca to learn more.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. You are tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco, and I'm your host for this wonderful Tuesday night, which is the night that this should be airing, because I may have pre-recorded this, but this is all brand new content I'm bringing to you this week anyways, so don't worry too much. That last song you just heard was called Stay All Summer by the artist Mama from their album Welcome to My Blue Sky. Awesome song. I think this will be one of my summer songs that I'll be listening to on repeat, so I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And I've been feeling like jumping into the topic, so what I've been doing for the past couple weeks is playing a little jazz in the background, so we're gonna do some jazz again. Kind of lighten up the mood. I feel like it also relaxes me, because ever since DJ Star left for Germany and I've been doing Slumber Party solo, holy cow, I still get so nervous speaking on the mic by myself. Feels like It's like a knot stuck in my throat whenever I talk, when I don't have the comfort of someone else being there. And so this is kind of just a fear that I'm trying to overcome, which is just being independent and doing things on my own without the comfort of someone else being there for me to rely on. But that's a separate story, separate topic that I'll get into most likely one day. But what I wanted to talk about today is from this article that I read in Apple News a couple days ago, and it was by the publisher. Since Apple News has multiple news article platforms on there, if you subscribe just to Apple News, you get Globe and Mail, get New York Times, etc., etc. And so one of them is the New Scientist, which is pretty popular scientific research publisher. And so this particular story was about autism in girls specifically. So there is something that I want to get into of the male bias in research and how that recently what they're finding and what the article goes over is that girls with autism have been severely underdiagnosed because of our diagnostic criteria that is based off of male research, and male participants who are autistic males have research conducted on them, and then I guess are the gold standard for the diagnosing criteria for both boys and girls. So I will get into that, but I just want to give kind of a brief overview on why I chose this, what even is autism. So I'm currently on co-op in research as a research assistant, so I'm very interested in how research is inherently biased and that we should really be careful over what statistics we are taking and how research is conducted. Now, especially working as a research assistant, sometimes even my guesses, for example, how many laps a person does back and forth, is prone to bias because maybe I looked away for one moment and I missed something. And so other things like where we select participants for our research studies, they come from a primarily white neighborhood or a Caucasian demographic area. And it's good to be conscious of this and be able to see this in research broadly. And so this is one thing that I'm interested in, and this underdiagnosis of autism is particularly interesting to me because of my experiences of being diagnosed pretty late as an adult with inattentive ADHD and being told kind of the same gender stereotypes with ADHD, like, oh, it's this hyperactive boy, always running around, obviously can't pay attention. And so when I went in for a diagnosis a couple years beforehand, where I actually didn't get the diagnosis, the teachers all were in shock, particularly my French teacher who was interviewed was shocked that my family reached out for me to get a diagnosis because I obviously looked like I was trying to pay attention in class, that I had good grades and that I didn't fidget around and things like that, even though there were other things like me going up to ask her questions because I wasn't listening the entire time and things like that, which is separate but similar. And so I wanted to talk about autism specifically today as part of the article. So many of you may know what autism is, but I just wanted to give the brief definition, which is that autism, also known as now autism spectrum disorder, so people with autism are on a whole spectrum. You can be high functioning, which means that you have one of more milder symptoms of autism and it isn't as noticeable, and then some people it's pretty severely noticeable. And so autism is not a mental illness. Just want to say that off the bat. It is a That time of night where I can't pronounce anything. It's a neurodevelopmental condition. And so the current diagnostic criteria for autism and autism spectrum disorder is of two conditions. So one of them is having persistent difficulties with social communication and social interaction. And the second one is restricted and repetitive patterns of behaviors, activities, or interests to the extent that these limit and impair everyday functioning. And so autism is usually diagnosed around age 5. So in younger kids, and in a more stereotypical manner, that you notice that the kids are not talking much, they have less eye contact, they may like objects over people, they have repetitive movements or very specific interests and liking things being done in a certain way, so a lot of routine. And this is for the younger side, but broadly speaking, the current diagnostic criteria is for younger kids and adults with ADHD all across the board. And so I would say that if I had to sum this up in one sentence for autism, is that you basically have speech and behavior problems that all have to do with the social realm of human life. And there are also others you may have heard of. So one called Asperger's syndrome, which is from the, I believe, psychologist Hans Asperger's. And this is a part of autism. It is not separate. So it's kind of like a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle isn't a square. So Asperger's meets both criteria of having difficulties with social communication and social interaction. And they also have people with this also have restricted and repetitive behaviors, activities, or interests. But it also includes having above average intelligence, because autism across the board can have different levels of intelligence and IQ. So some people with autism may not be very smart, and some may be very, very smart. So Asperger's is an outdated term, so it just gets grouped in with autism spectrum disorder now. Not a standalone diagnosis anymore. But further going into autism, it is diagnosed very subjectively. So being a neurodevelopmental condition, unlike things like having diabetes, where you can easily test that, okay, I have insulin or I don't have insulin, with things like autism or ADHD, it is subjective, and there is no biomarker in your body that says you have this. So this means that modern diagnostic criteria uses a lot of questionnaires and interviews. So as we see, this is prone to cognitive bias and the bias of human interviewers. Going more into the stereotypes of autism, so that aside, we'll get into that a bit later. I kind of made this picture of a boy that I would say that most people would imagine when thinking of someone with autism. And this is reinforced by a lot of popular culture as well. So a couple examples of this would be like Sam Gardner from Atypical, or some of the theories of Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory, which he wasn't coined that he was, but there is a lot of speculation. And just TV shows vastly using male stereotypical autistic characters. And so the actual ratio right now of autism, which is something else that's pretty commonly thought of, is that it is something that affects boys more, which is a big key to this article. And what I'm trying to get out here is that it is primarily thought of a male or a guy's disease, or not disease, a guy's condition, say. And so the ratio is actually a 4-to-1 ratio as of right now, which is commonly stated. And that means that boys are 4 times more likely to be diagnosed with autism. So I can give you a fake example that I made of this character called Bobby with autism. And I would say that this kind of fits the stereotype of what is thought of autism and the fact that so many more boys seem to have it. Keynote seem is that, let's say, Bobby is introverted. He is socially awkward. He struggles with eye contact and kind of expressing proper facial expressions. So when you tell him a joke, he doesn't really laugh much. Or when you tell him something sad, he doesn't really change his facial expression. Bobby may have some odd body movements. So maybe when you're talking, he's rocking slightly back and forth, or he's got very unusual stiff body language. Maybe he's sitting up very strangely stiff. And maybe Bobby, he speaks in a robotic tone, or he has some delayed speech. So when you tell him something, it takes him a couple moments to respond. And just overall having a lot of difficulties with conversation and not keeping it going. And that's just more appearance-wise, conversation-wise. And going into some of the behaviors and personalities that are pretty stereotypical is that, let's say, Bobby has very niche, specific interests. He's very highly knowledgeable in the most obscure areas sometimes, but the most common ones which autistic people focus on would be, for example, trains, collecting coins, or very niche Star Wars off-brand games, for example. And maybe Bobby gets upset when specific routines are disrupted. So there's my very, very stereotypical example of Bobby. No shame to Bobby. This is just something that I made up. And maybe this is what you think of what an autistic person would seem like. But what this article is trying to say is that there have been recent new findings and more in-depth look into finding research in how women are diagnosed with this current criteria, which being the persistent difficulties with social communication and social interaction, and two, the restricted and repetitive behavior patterns of behaviors, activities, or interests. So, which I kind of gave the example of Bobby. And they actually have found research on the brain for specifically female autistic brains, and that they work differently than male autistic ones. So this may not come as a massive, massive shocker, because yes, boys and girls are different, males and females are different, but it's kind of more the fact that we've been diagnosing women and girls for a test that was made by men for men. And this kind of all goes into this idea of masking, which is what differs between a lot of female autistic individuals versus male autistic individuals. And so maybe you ask, what is masking? And there can be different kinds of maskings, so I'm just going to give a broad definition of social masking, which is to hide or suppress your natural or the person's natural autistic traits to fit in with society and to please others, or just, yeah, fit in. And so these are things like, for speech-wise, forcing eye contact, so making sure you look at the other person, hiding some of your personal niche interests, so maybe you really want to talk about trains, but you're not going to because you know the other person would get bored after you talking about it for 5 minutes straight. There's a lot of exhausting rehearsed questions and having conversation scripts before going in to meet a person, and kind of prepping yourself before every social interaction. And it goes into the behavior too. So masking is perhaps you want to fidget really badly, but you know that you shouldn't fidget. And as well with autistic people, there are a lot of sensory overload. So masking would be not speaking out about how the overhead light is really annoying you, or how your sweater is feeling really scratchy on your skin and you don't want to say anything, but you're feeling overwhelmed. And so masking can be done consciously or unconsciously. And you may also ask, well, doesn't everybody mask and do some degree of masking? Like, we want to present ourselves and we want to fit in too. I mean, all normal people do that and try this. But it's to a point for autistic masking when it hits this level of intensity and exhaustion, shame, misunderstanding, and loss of identity, that you kind of feel that when you mask, you put on this persona, and then you go home and you feel exhausted and you don't feel like you were yourself. This is where the sense of loss of identity comes in, and you are tired, you are stressed, and you're anxious, like, no one likes me for my real self. And this loss of identity, which can lead into more severe symptoms, like, or severe effects like depression or suicidal thoughts. And what they found is that autistic girls are much more prone to this social masking. And this they found in brain imaging studies, that autistic girls have a higher social reward and motivation. Goals? I don't know, but yeah, you get what I mean. But it's, they want to have this social reward and motivation more compared to autistic boys. And so what recent studies are finding is that there is actually a greater connectivity of these social brain networks in autistic girls versus boys. And so kind of reiterating all of that back into one little sentence, the overall findings is that autistic girls and women have more powerful behavioral drive for this social engagement and this social reward, and they're more motivated to be more social, and they are more highly reactive to social rejection. And you may ask, like, so what does this mean? How does this make any change? And so this kind of goes into the current diagnostic autism criteria, which I mentioned before, which is the problems with social conversation and behaviors, which autistic girls are able to mask a lot of these issues. So the test may ask, like, oh, how hard is it for you to make friends? Or do you make eye contact in conversation? And so girls are able to write down, I mean, yes, I can make friends. I don't have very many social problems with people. And so they go unnoticed. And this is because the current diagnostic criteria can't pick up on this masking, this idea of masking. Or it may say that they have a mild version of autism. And so this means that we are actually underdiagnosing girls and women. And this may not be a male condition that goes from a ratio of 4 to 1. So boys being 4 times more likely. And they are actually thinking that it is more 50-50 because of this masking component that girls are more likely to display. And especially with all the brain imaging, that they are more motivated and sensitive to social rejection to engage in this masking. And so this can go even back further in time, which is something I wanted to discuss. And I have discussed with Rebecca on Sociologic about health research in general, and just not even health research, but just research in general, is that a lot of this underdiagnosing reason is this diagnostic autism criteria, which is built off male-centric research designs. So this is the idea that I've been kind of nudging out there, that research is inherently biased, and this is from all sectors, from awareness, recognition, definition, diagnosis, and just having scientifically valid research. And I can see this back to my work. Another little example is for one of our studies, we have a cardiac study that are based off patients and enrolled patients who are about to undergo open heart surgery. And so we're collecting data on these patients, but majority of all these patients are male. They are all older white males. And so these are the people that we are researching on, and we only know information about this specific subset of the population. And I would say that going through this cardiac study, there must be at least 80%, 80 to 90% of the participants are male. And just at our site is what I see. And maybe 10% of the open heart surgeries are women. And so we're not getting this valuable data. And it's not no one's fault, but it's just something that we have to be aware of. And so kind of connecting this back to research and autism research specifically, there have been several meta-analyses, and one particularly from this New Scientist study, that nearly all male participants were studied in these previous autism research studies that we have been all basing our diagnostic criteria off. And it goes into, for example, with the autistic brain scans for these previous ones that we base our information off. So from the 1990s to the 2020s, so very, very recent, there have been many, many cognitive neuroscientists who have been mapping brain activity for these autistic individuals with a brain scanner. And this recent meta-analysis, or let's back up, these studies all mapped brain activity to hope to identify brain differences for any social difficulties and this characteristic compared to, I guess, a neurotypical or a normal brain. And a meta-analysis that was that I read through New Scientist looked at hundreds of these studies, and okay, wait a minute, back up even farther, let me just restart here. Okay, there have been hundreds of studies from the 1990s to the 2020s. I've been looking at my notes wrong, so I'm gonna restart that. So there's been hundreds of studies between this period, and so cognitive neuroscientists have been mapping brain activity for autistic individuals with these brain scanners, and they found this very powerful overall consensus that there are lowered levels of activity or reduced connectivity in autistic brains, and that there is poor or minimal emotional recognition for social rejection in the striatum, particularly, which is the part of the brain that is involved in reward processing and reinforcement learning. But what I'm trying to say now is that in 2024, from this New Scientist article, there has been a meta-analysis looking over 120 plus of these brain imaging studies, and found that they are highly biased because nearly 70% tested only male brains, and or added 1 to 2 female brains within these studies. And so, overall, for these 120-plus brain imaging studies, there were more than 4,000 autistic participants overall, and less than 10% were female autistic brains that were studied. Less than 10%. So, as you can see, this is very, very skewed, and we have been diagnosing autistic girls with male autistic brain research. And so we can see these tumbling, I guess, overall effects now with things like the recognition and criteria of the 21st century. And so that, for example, with recognition, girls, autistic girls, are less likely to be diagnosed with autism. And for example, the interviews for being diagnosed, you need an outside perspective. So like a family member or a teacher. And this is where I brought in my French teacher and my ADHD diagnosis, where they have their own biases and they do have gender biases as well. So I have my personal example, but there was also there has been actual research into this, particularly a 2020 Wiley autism research study that showed that primary teachers that were given identical vignettes of children with atypical behavior, they were actually more likely to suggest and support the boy over the girl having autistic traits, even though the profile was the exact same and the only difference was the gender of the child. And so this recognition is the first barrier because of this 4-to-1 ratio that boys are so much more likely to have autism. Look at this ratio, 4 times more likely. And this thus topples down into the recognition. And if you even get past being recognized and maybe you do have some traits and you want to go get a diagnosis, the criteria that you are being graded on is this gold standard diagnostic criteria, and it mentions things like, example, struggling with eye contact or struggling to make friends. And if girls are more predisposed to being sensitive to social rejection and wanting to make more friends and be more social, and they are masking this speech and behavior and having less difficulties outwardly with social interactions, they aren't going to be picked up by this diagnostic criteria. And these interviews and these questions and scenarios are all built from, as I said, these primarily male-only research samples. So even if you are a girl or a woman with high levels of autistic traits, but you are able to mask very well, and the test can't really measure how mentally exhausted you get from this masking and to what degree you do it, because it is all so subjective, these tests can't determine they are autistic enough, and they don't get labeled as autistic. And so this kind of runs into this cycle that I noticed, where we start off with girls and women not being diagnosed from these questionnaire standards. And so they are not autistic enough. And thus, they are not recruited into autism research because you have to be autistic to be studied in autistic research. Then, since there's no girls going to these studies, there is now more research on males and boys and men having autism, and there's a lack of female representation in this research. This means further bias because of more honed research into men, boys and men, and more honed diagnostic criteria for boys and men. And the cycle continues where the diagnostic criteria is not fit for girls and women, and we keep going in circles and circles and circles. On the bright side, there is not a solution per se, but having more awareness about this, because I've never actually thought, I have thought about this in terms of ADHD, but not for other diagnoses like these. And so having more awareness about this, like the New Science article and a lot of other articles I've been seeing online when I was looking up some research for this topic, is a good idea to spread this initial awareness. And so having more awareness means that we can change our diagnostic criteria and do this from researchers being more aware of this bias, gender bias, and it can lead to an overall paradigm shift over time. But essentially, we just need more female participants required in research, and girls and women in research. But that is something that will take a lot of time, and this is a very systemic issue that we will all have to work on slowly but surely. But outside of autism research, just for people with autism in general, I think that it is still a very stigmatizing condition, or something to live with, and I feel that people do still look down on people who have ADHD or autism, even though it is a lot more accepting now, and the awareness with social media is exponentially more than before. We should still be trying to make environments more accepting of different ways of functioning and being, so more embracing neurodiversity, kind of just getting some empathy out there. And this is also very easy to say and so hard to actually implement, but it all just requires a little bit of empathy, a little bit of awareness. We'll get there. We'll get there one day. But that is my autism gender bias research discussion / rant. More discussion, but I hope you learned something today. I definitely learned a lot about research and diagnostic criteria, and particularly girls, and I would love to cover this topic again more in depth another week. And I most likely, or I'll do ADHD or anxiety, etc., etc. I have been talking for quite a while and my throat is itchy, so I'm gonna go back to the music, turn off some of the jazz that I've been peacefully listening to, and you as well. Really like that idea, so pat myself on the back for that one. We are gonna go back into the music for the last of the hour. So this next one is called Lick with an exclamation mark, all capitals too, by Maggie Merlin. I'm going to be completely honest, I did not listen to this fully through, only skimmed it a tiny bit, but I liked the beginning, and I think the ending will be amazing as well. So this is Lick by Maggie Merlin. Enjoy.
Go home to you, cause I know I keep it easy. I stay home from me, cause I'm always as easy. I know I go home to me, so I let this be easy. I know. Take it all.
Attention, woman in science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill-building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit SCWIS.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
It's been so long since I cared for somebody else but myself. Oh, I'm sure you must have felt it when you asked me for a cigarette.
About up-and-coming artists, albums, and more? Well, I have the perfect show for you. Come hang out with me at Raccoon City every Tuesday from 12 to 1. Hope to see you there.
We'll be right back. With Canada's health system under strain, going digital can help heal our healthcare. From virtual visits for everyday concerns to faster, more accurate diagnostics powered by AI, technology is transforming care. Digital Health Canada supports the people and innovations behind this change. Learn more at digitalhealthcanada.com and subscribe to our podcast.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. You're tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm your host for this hour, DJ Coco. Unfortunately, we are almost at the end of this hour, so I just wanted to come on here and give my goodbyes and explain also the last couple songs that you heard. So that last one was called Hearsay by Annika with one N, and from the album Abyss. The one right before that I also introduced, but that one was called... No, I didn't. So there's Hearsay by Annika, and then the one right before that was Milk and Sugar by Lorai, which was a single that was recently released. Hopefully you like those. And I just wanted to give my introductions for the next show and say my thank yous. So at 7 p.m., you'll be hearing Rebecca from Sociologic, which is from 7 to 8, and then at 8 p.m., you will be hearing Bitcoover with our music coordinator, Connor. So definitely stick around for those shows. I believe there's also a guest on Sociologic. May not be talking, but just sitting in, but you can find out in a couple minutes. So I'm going to play one last song as I leave here and try to run down SFU Mountain by car. I'm not actually running. I don't know why I said running. And get home and have dinner because it is getting late and I'm really hungry. So this last song you'll be hearing for the night is called... Let's see. What do I want to play from the couple songs that I have left? Give me a thought. Okay. We'll do this one. This one is called Little Light by Georgia Harmer from the album Eye of the Storm. So a little more chill to exit out of here. I will see you next week, Tuesday 6 to 7, and hope you have a wonderful night.
There's a hornet inside of the screen, candelitas alone in a tree. There's a little light inside me. I'll ride in your passenger seat. There's a secret that floats on the breeze. The place calls out, don't you tell anyone about me. Still on, the chorus is sleeping till dawn, and somewhere far away the day lumbers on. Little light, little light, little light, little light, little light.
Thanks for listening. See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.